Well, let's dive right into this and take a look at a new report that's out from Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security and the National Association of Chain Drug Stores. And what we're talking about this morning in this study is inequities in the health system. And they've really been, I guess, exacerbated or uncovered, revealed, or become known to folks because of COVID. And we are seeing how in some communities, pharmacies are nearly it. So that seems to be the deal, is sometimes pharmacies are having to cover to an extent. We talk about food deserts sometimes, but I guess there are also medical deserts.
That's right. We've seen since early on in the pandemic that people of color and indigenous people in particular have been really disproportionately affected by COVID, including higher likelihoods of infection, hospitalization, and death. And so really what we wanted to do with this report is kind of take stock of some of these inequities and then look at what public health and medicine have done to try and narrow these gaps so that we can learn from what has worked and also try to fill the gaps for the future. And I think pharmacies play an important role in trying to provide equitable access to people. Pharmacies are actually pretty well placed to do this because about 90% of the U.S. population actually lives within 5 miles of a pharmacy. And because you don't necessarily need a primary care physician to go to a pharmacy, especially for COVID, to get a test or a vaccine. So pharmacies have been working well with public health and other community organizations to try and increase access and just get people the care they need during COVID.
Is this going to, I just think about it, and you're 100% right. I can walk to the pharmacy from my house, yet whichever hospital I choose is at least 25 minutes by car to get to. So obviously the pharmacy is much, much more accessible to me. But I'm also thinking about what needs to change at the pharmacy for them to truly fill in the gap, or are you looking to come at it from the other standpoint and fill in the gaps with some more traditional medical type facilities?
Yeah, so I think pharmacies have played an important role, and they've done things like expanding hours and staffing and starting new patient communication strategies to try and reach people who may not otherwise be reached in the community. They've also expanded the care that pharmacists and pharmacy technicians can provide, especially around vaccination and testing. And so I do think one of the reasons we wanted to look at this and do this report is to see how we can make some of these things more permanent for the future. Some of these expansions in both the amount of care that they can provide and the types of care that pharmacists can provide are more under an emergency basis right now. But hopefully we can make those more permanent for the future so access will be expanded more permanently. And then another aspect that's been important is pharmacies working directly with public health and with other organizations and communities, community leaders, to really connect people to care. And that's kind of just the start of what we need. So more of that work will be necessary for the future, and I know pharmacies are hoping to continue that engagement.
And obviously this need and this situation is much more so in certain communities. And I think you highlighted a couple when we first started, communities of color. I'm in a fairly rural part of the state, but when you talk about rural Virginia, you're talking even way further out than where I am. You know, we're 14 miles from the West Virginia border here, and there are certainly, when you cross that border, there are some areas that just, I mean, you're near nothing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, even the pharmacies that we have with their expanded care and access, it's not perfect. Coverage isn't perfect, and so we still need to continue to do work to make those connections so people can have access to care, even if they aren't able to reach a doctor's office or a hospital. So hopefully going forward, we're going to do some more research to try and really identify those gaps and how to fill them. But I do think what's been done during COVID will also strengthen the healthcare system beyond COVID. It will hopefully help provide better routine care, access to other types of diagnostic tests and vaccines, so people can continue to rely on pharmacies for this kind of entry-level care for the future.
Now, did I understand that we kind of need a little bit of a legislative assist here? Meaning, I thought you said that some of this stuff is only going on because of an emergency situation. And, you know, perhaps they would need authorization for a more permanent basis.
Right. So the federal government, one of the things they've done during COVID is to provide changes to payment, so payments to pharmacies to be able to deliver this type of care. Excuse me, sorry about that.
I can edit this. Don't worry, Dr. Watson.
Okay. So I'll start over there. So what something that the federal government has done is to change how it pays pharmacies to provide this type of care. And so one thing that would be important is for the federal government to make those changes more permanent. Also, state legislatures and boards of pharmacies also need to make more permanent this expanded scope of practice for pharmacists to be able to provide these vaccines and tests for not just for COVID, but for a wide range of diseases. And also to be able to care for a range of ages of patients. Pharmacies were more able to provide care for adults before, and some of that has expanded during COVID so that kids can also get vaccinated and tested at pharmacies.
Yeah, it's interesting you talk about, you know, some action being needed on the state level. Our General Assembly here in Virginia is getting ready to meet. I think in 7 days the new legislative session kicks off. So, we're going to be, I'm assuming, taking a look at some of this stuff, and as this study pointed out, COVID has really shown us maybe some of the really soft spots that we have in our medicine delivery or our medical care delivery system here in the U.S.
Absolutely. I hope that state legislatures will take up this call and make some of these changes more permanent. And we'll continue to learn from our experience during COVID and both creating better access and equitable access for people in the future.
Dr. Watson, I greatly appreciate your expertise, the information that you're sharing with us. Thank you so very much.
Thanks for having me on.